from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hey listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by news from across Indonesia. Today in history, My Indonesia, news in brief. We continue Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, and to conclude our program for today, we present you Music Corner. That was our program summary for today over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo calls for students to avoid drugs. Russia close friends since era of first President Sukarno. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has called for students, especially those in Papua, to avoid using drugs and engaging in violence in a bid to develop the nation's quality. He noted in Sorong, Papua, that such activities can harm the Indonesian youth who will emerge as leaders of the nation in the future. On the third day of his walking visit to Papua province, as stated by Deputy of Protocol, Press and Media of the Presidential Secretariat, Bey Mahmudin, the President attended a seminar on reducing the use of drugs and stopping violence and pornography among students held in Graha Lux Ex Oriente, West Sorong. President Joko Widodo stated that Indonesian young generation will emerge as leaders of the nation in the next two or three decades. He emphasized that it is possible for a Papuan to become the Indonesian head of state. He also believes that just being smart is not enough to achieve the goal, but the communities should also avoid drugs and violence. Chairman of People's Consult Assembly Zulkifli Hasan warmly welcomed the arrival of Russian ambassador to Indonesia, Lyudmila Georgievna, to the building of MPR in Jakarta on Friday. Chairman Zulkifli said that Russia has been a close friend since the era of First President Sukarno. Referring to Zulkifli's statement, Ambassador Lyudmila disclosed that Indonesian First President Sukarno visited Russia in 1964. Ambassador Lyudmila also said that both Russia and Indonesia have many similarities. One of them is the attitude of the government that equally appreciates all religious followers. In her first speech to the MPR building, Ambassador Lyudmila requested assistance from the MPR's chairman to help strengthen relations between the two countries. She also invited Zulkifli Hasan to visit Russia and attend the parliamentary meetings in June. Chairman Zulkifli welcomed Russia's desire to improve relations between the two countries. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Yosef Donovan met with Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi. The meeting took place closely at the building of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry in Jakarta on Friday. After the meeting, Ambassador Donovan said that he and Minister Retno Marsudi discussed about the relations between the two countries. In the near future, he plans to conduct consultations related to the relation of the United States with various countries, including Indonesia.
I mentioned that I'm going to be going back for some consultations in Washington in about 2 weeks, and we reviewed a number of things in our bilateral relationship. So it was a very, very good meeting, and I appreciate the minister taking time out of her very busy schedule to meet with me.
Furthermore, Ambassador Donovan said that in his meeting with Minister Retno Marsudi, he also briefly touched on security cooperation between the two countries. When asked what form of security cooperation was discussed in the meeting, the ambassador was not willing to provide further answer to the reporters. In addition, he also said that he appreciated Indonesian foreign policies that bring about positive contribution to the world community, especially the United States. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution said that the implementation of the transformation of Bataan from Free Trade Zone (FTZ) to Special Economic Zone (KEZ) is carried out in stages. At coordination meeting that took place in Bataan Rio Islands on Friday, Minister Darmin Nasution emphasized that the government will set zones as a special economic zones one by one and see the readiness of each region. If one zone finishes being set as a special economic zone, the government will reassess the next zone to become a special economic zone. Governor of Rio Islands, Arsha Yuliandi Rahman, will become the chairman of the Board of Regents. He hopes that the entire formulation of the transformation of the Bataan will be completed within 2 or 3 months for the legal certainty of the investors. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Chairman of the Presidential Advisory Council, Sri Hadiningsi, was a speaker at the first annual Economic Freedom Summit in European Parliament, which presented 35 speakers from 25 countries and attended by 300 participants from government, private political parties, and a team of thinkers. The meeting discussed various topics, including economic aid for Greece, economic socialization in Venezuela, to the future of market liberalization in Southeast Asia. This was explained by Staff of Information, Social and Culture at the Indonesian Embassy in Brussels, Belgium, Anche Melani, on Friday. Sri Hadiningsi presented the themed Indonesian economic transformation and provided an overview to the public and policymakers in European Union relative to the economic development direction of President Joko Widodo's administration, which focuses on improving human resources, infrastructure development, and strengthening Indonesian competitiveness in trade and investment. Sri Hadiningsi added that the President's 9 prioritized programs, Nawacita, focusing on equitable economic development by developing villages and underdeveloped areas in eastern part of Indonesia, improving the quality of life of Indonesian people, increasing international productivity and competitiveness, and promoting national economic development. The strengthening of tourism sector continues to be done by Indonesia. One of them is through strategy and cooperation with neighboring countries such as Timor-Leste and Australia. Assistant Deputy of Marketing Strategy and Communication at Tourism Ministry, Haryanto, said that the tourism industry can generate enormous economic benefits. Thus, cooperation in improving the economic growth of a region becomes important. In regard to this, regional cooperation is involving Indonesia, Timor-Leste, and Australia. A senior official meeting on trilateral economic cooperation Indonesia, Timor-Leste, Australia in Labuan Bajo on Friday, Haryanto stated that the momentum of this trilateral meeting is very important in developing cooperation in the field of tourism. It is expected that the cooperation can strengthen tourism in the three countries, which is the heart of the Pacific region. The Minister of Environment and Forestry delivered a community-based waste management method in the 8th Regional Forum in Asia and the Pacific Health in Indore, Madhya Pradesh, India, on 9 until 12 April 2019. Director General of the Waste Management Hazardous Materials, the Minister of Environment and Forestry, Rosa Vipin Ratnawati, as Timpoy of Indonesia in the forum, explained the efforts that have been done by government with the community managing waste through sought-out education. 3R implementation, reduce, reuse, and recycle, and mechanization of waste bank. Currently, there are 5,244 waste banks spreading over 34 provinces and 219 districts and cities in Indonesia, with national waste reduction contribution of 1.7% of national waste generation. Rosa Vipin also said in Jakarta on Friday that she also shared a program to facilitate the construction of a recycling center to manage organic waste into compost in a bid to prevent soil, river, and air pollution from waste management. The last item, the failure of Indonesian mixed double pair Rinot Rivaldi and Vita Mentari in the quarterfinals of the badminton tournament China Master 2018, makes the representative of Indonesia in the Super 100 level tournament remain one left. The World Federation Badminton World BWF Monitor in Jakarta on Saturday noted that Indonesia is represented by another mixed double partners, Ronald Alexander and Anissa Saufika, in the 4 major China Masters 2018. Final held in Linshui, Henan, China on Friday, Rinot and Vita surrendered in the hands of Gua Xinhua Liu Shuangshuan, deputy, in 2-minute game 20-22, 17-21. With this result, Renaud and Vita added a row of Indonesian representatives who did not qualify for the bid for phase tournament with a total prize worth $75,000. After the previous two representatives of Indonesia, Panji Ahmad and Maulana Itman Single and Anggia Sita Awanda and Marisa Shindi Shahputri in women's doubles also failed to advance to the semifinals. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
From across the country, unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
Hello there, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with weekly segment News from Across the Country that brings interesting information from across Indonesia in a week. The first news comes from Labuan Bajo, East Nusa Tenggara. Three countries, namely Indonesia, Timor Leste, and Australia, held a meeting in Labuan Bajo, East Nusa Tenggara, from April 11 to 13, 2018. Head of the Provincial Tourism Office, Marius Ardu Jelamo, on Tuesday said that one of the agenda of the meeting is to discuss cooperation in tourism among the three countries. In addition to discussing tourism, the meeting organized by the Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs also discussed cooperation in the fields of economy, investment, business, land, sea and air connectivity, cultural community cooperation, livestock, agriculture, education and health. Marius added that for the tourism sector in particular, Indonesia proposed to open air connectivity, namely flights from Darwin in Australia to Kupang and Labuan Bajo in Indonesia. The next information comes from West Kota Waringin, Central Kalimantan. WWF Indonesia and the Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries conducted a seaweed and dugong survey at Bras Basah Sandbar. Chairman of the Dugong and Seaweed Surface Team, Lamina Juraj, said the initial objective of dugong and seaweed or seagrass surface is to look at conditions in areas that are reserved for regional water conservation in Senggora Sepagar Park and the surrounding sea covering more than 61,000 hectares by the Central Kalimantan Provincial Government. This seaweed and dugong survey was conducted by Seaweed Conservation Project of the Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries with Worldwide Fund Indonesia, the Indonesian Institute of Scientists, and the Bogor Agriculture Institute as the implementing partners. I'll end news from across Indonesia with news from Yogyakarta. Hundreds of Scouts members attended the ceremony commemorating the birthday of the founder of Indonesian Pramuka or Scout Movement, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX, in Yogyakarta on Wednesday. Chairman of the National Scouts Movement, Adiaksa Daud, while presiding at the ceremony said, commemorating the birth of Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX marks the celebration of the founder of Indonesian Scout Movement, or HB 9th Day, in subsequent years every April the 12th. By commemorating the day, according to him, all members of the Scout Movement can follow the example of Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX, which includes life skills, the spirit of state defense, volunteerism, and the implementation of Satya Dharma Pramuka. That was this week's news from across the country. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. while we start for an event on April 14, 1912, when Titanic sank. On April 14, 1912, Titanic hit iceberg at North Atlantic Sea and sank. Due to lack of rescue boats and other emergency property, more than 1,500 people were killed. From more 2,200 passengers and ship crews on Titanic, only 700 people were saved. Most of them were women and children. Titanic began its journey 4 days before from Southampton, England to New York City. The ship was the biggest ship in the world. One of the three ocean ships of Olympic class was operated by White Star Line. The ship was built in 1909 until 1911 by Harland and Wolff Shipyard in Belfast. The next event was in 2002 when Hugo Chavez was back to his power. In fact, Hugo Chavez's authority on civilians or Venezuelan military group was still strong. After being ousted from the reins of Venezuela dictatorship on April 14, 2002 by military pressure and people's power, Chavez was back to presidential palace in Caracas and took over the state control. The state was easy for Chavez because several hours before 3,000 military forces of National Honor Guard, the Plessis Guards, who were loyal to Chavez, took over the palace. In his speech after returning to the palace, Chavez said that he rejected to resign and called all parties to unite in coalition. And the last event was in 2011 when Rosian Anwar, Indonesian senior journalist, passed away. Rosian Anwar passed away in Jakarta on April 14, 2011 at the age of 89 years old due to heart failure. Rosian Anwar was buried at Kalibata National Heroes Cemetery in Jakarta. He was a figure of Indonesian press, although he was more precisely mentioned as culturist and literator. He was one of writers who was quite active. Rosian Anwar has written around 21 books and hundreds of articles at almost the main newspaper and magazines in Indonesia, and also some foreign publishers. He began his career in journalistics as Asian reporter in the period of the Japanese colonial in 1943 until becoming chief editor of Siasat during 1947-1957 and Pedoman 1948 until 1961. In 1950, along with Umar Ismail, he established National Film Industry. In his first film, Dara and Toa, Rosian Anwar also became stuntman. In 2007, Rosian Anwar and Herawati Dia, who participated in establishing Indonesian Journalist Association in Surakarta in 1947, received Lifetime Achievement. Well, listener, that was Student History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with My Indonesia, which today is on survey. Bank Indonesia survey shows expansion business activities continue. Bank Indonesia's business activity survey says business expansion will continue after performance in various sectors increased in the first quarter of 2018. Executive Director of Bank Indonesia Statistics Department, Yati Kurniati, said in Jakarta on Thursday that business activities in the first quarter increased mainly in agriculture, plantation, animal husbandry, forestry and fishery, and processing industry sectors. According to Yati Kurniati, the improvement in business activities will continue in the second quarter of 2018 in line with the increasing demand ahead of Ramadan and Idul Fitri celebrations. One sector that is projected to grow in the next quarter is the processing industry, which includes textiles, base metals, beverages and tobacco, wooden articles and paper and printed materials. Especially for textile, some have been distributed as preparation ahead of Lebaran Day. Yati Kurniati added another expansion in the second quarter of 2018 is also expected to occur in the agricultural sector, especially in foodstuff, plantation, animal husbandry, forestry, and agriculture. The survey also noted an improvement in business performance as reflected in the increase in employment in the second quarter of 2018 in trade, hotels and restaurants, services and finance, real estate and corporate services. Yati Kurniati said the respondents stated that the increase in the number of employees is also driven by the increase in sales caused by the expansion of business. The survey also illustrates the condition of business liquidity and rentability in the first quarter of 2018 in good condition with access to easier banking credit. The results of Bank Indonesia Business Survey for the first quarter of 2018 also revealed that business operators are optimistic that inflation this year will drop to 3.44% compared to last year's 3.61%. The business survey takes 3,200 medium and large companies across the country with minimum turnover of 2.5 billion rupiah per year and a workforce of more than 20 people as its sample. Overall, the objective of publishing a survey business activities is to get an indication of the direction of economic activity developments in the current quarter. It is also to obtain early information on expected economic activity developments in the coming quarters as well as to guide the growth of gross domestic product. That was my Indonesia Today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo has called for students, especially those in Papua, to avoid using drugs and engaging in violence in a bid to develop the nation's quality. Chairman of the People Consult Assembly, Zulkifli Hasan, warmly welcomed the arrival of Russian ambassador to Indonesia, Ludmila Georgievna, to building of Impira in Jakarta on Friday. Chairman Zulkifli said that Russia has been a close friend since the era of the first president Sukarno. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Joseph Donovan met Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi. The meeting took place closely at the building of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry in Jakarta on Friday. After the meeting, Ambassador Donovan said that he and Minister Retno Marsudi discussed bilateral relations between the two countries. In the near future, he plans to conduct consultation related to the relations of the United States with various countries, including Indonesia. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution said that the implementation of the transformation of Batam from Free Trade Zone FTZ to Special Economic Zone KEK is carried out in stages. At the coordination meeting that took place in Batam Riau Islands on Friday, Mr. Darmin Nasution emphasized that the government will set zones as Special Economic Zone one by one and see the readiness of each region. Chairman of the Presidential Advisory Council, Sri Adinisi, was a speaker at the first annual Economic Freedom Summit in European Parliament, which presented 35 speakers from 25 countries and attended by 300 participants from government, private political parties and a team of thinkers. Strengthening of tourism sector continues to be done by Indonesia. One of them is through strategy and cooperation with neighboring countries such as Timor-Leste and Australia. Assistant Deputy of Marketing Strategy and Communication at Tourism Ministry, Haryanto, said that the tourism industry can generate enormous economic benefits. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry delivered a community-based waste management method in the 8th region of Foreign Asia and the Pacific Health in Indore, Madhya Pradesh, India on 9th until 12th April 2018. Director General of Waste Management Hazardous Materials at the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Rosa Pipin Ratnawati, as the employee of Indonesia and the foreign, explained the efforts that have been done by the government with the community managing waste through sorting out education, 3R implementation, namely reduce, reuse, and recycle. The failure of Indonesian mixed double pair Rino Rivaldi and Vita Mentari in the quarterfinals of the badminton tournament China Master 2018 makes the representative of Indonesia in the Super 100 level tournament remain one left. The World Federation Badminton World Monitor in Jakarta on Saturday noted that Indonesia is represented by another mixed double partners, Ronald Alexander and Anissa Saufika, in the four major China Master 2018. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of tourism objects in Yogyakarta. Stay tuned. Listener, which is in the south part of Yogyakarta, directly border with Indian Ocean, which has heavy waves. The heavy waves often make people fear to cross it, as if the coming wave is to call people not to cross its water. But it doesn't mean that all beaches cannot be used to do activity. In Gunung Kidul, there is beautiful beach whose location is protected by a toll so that the wave of the beach is quite calm and safe for activity. The beach is Nglambor Beach. Listener, Nglambor Beach is located at Purwodadi Village, Tepus District, Gunung Kidul Regency, Yogyakarta. From Yogyakarta, Nglambor Beach takes around 2 until 3 hours by personal car. The road to the Nglambor Beach is not quite big so that tourism but cannot enter. Cars cannot be parked at the beach because its location is quite narrow, so you have to walk or ride motorcycle from parking area. Coastal line is also not wide so that it is not suitable for playing volleyball or sunbathing. Its sand is a little bit different, not smooth, and the color is black, because the sand of Nglambor Beach is formed from fractional shells of marine life and coral which were eroded continuously by waves. Uniquely, Nglambor Beach can be used for snorkeling. The condition of water at the beach, which looks like basin, is safe for swimming and snorkeling because there are two hills which are located at the middle of the sea. Coral hills, which look like giant turtles, function as wave breaker and holder. So, the wave which arrives at the beach is not big and it tends to calm down. Wave makes marine biota and coral reef thrive fertile. The water at the beach is clear so that you can see the bottom of the sea. At Nglambor Beach, you can play water such as swimming and snorkeling. But if you do not want to get wet, you can only find shell and colorful stones, or you can climb the coral hills at the beach. Listener, from the hills, the form of the two turtles of the coral island can be seen clearly. You can also witness Nglambor Beach from the edge. In addition, other beaches are seen fish, such as Wediombo Beach. For the hills, you can also see sunset. If you have extra time, you can try to go down the beach, starting from Nglambor Beach to the north or to the east. If you go down the beach to the east, so you can climb hills in the east and to continue the trip to Siung Beach, Watu Lumbung Beach, and Wediombo Beach. Meanwhile, if you go down to the west, you will see Jogan Beach, Ngetun Beach, Timang Beach, Pok Tunggal Beach, and Indrayanti Beach.
If you want to stay at night at surrounding of the beach, you can set a tent at one of the beaches. Listener, the entrance ticket of Nglambor Beach costs 5,000 rupees per person. To rent snorkeling equipment is around 50,000 rupees. We remind you, if you want to snorkel, it is better for you to contact management of the beach to know information when the best time is to snorkel, because the level of clarity and visibility of water is determined by the tidal wave. And if you want to snorkel on weekends, you have to reserve it first in order to not to run out of snorkeling equipment. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Nglambor Beach in Yogyakarta. I'm Putri Savitri Ardila, thank you for listening. Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener now, let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, presenting various aspects of Indonesian life, including art and culture, technology and environment, even lifestyle. This edition will be introducing special hand-painted batik of Meru Betiri, Jember, East Java. You can listen to this program via streaming at www.voinews.id or through RRI Play application on your smartphone. Meru Betiri National Park is one of Indonesia's national parks located in Jember, East Java. This place is quite popular for the beauty of the flora and fauna it offers. This park has a large area, which is 580 square kilometers, and it is located in two districts, namely Jember and Banyuwangi. As a buffer village of Meru Betiri National Park, the women in Wonosari Village, Jember Regency, came to the idea of producing a unique batik cloth called batik tulis or hand-painted batik of Meru Betiri. As a new type of batik in Jember District, batik Meru Betiri produced by the women of Wonosari Village, District Tempurejo, Jember, has its own uniqueness. To produce a perfect piece of Meru Betiri batik, one must go through several stages of production process that requires extra patience and meticulousness. In addition, the raw materials for batik coloring is from natural materials and free of synthetic chemical elements. There are 13 batik motifs that are all derived from the biological richness of Meru Betiri National Park. The batik motif derived from a batik training program that became one of the sub-programs in the land-based disaster mitigation program organized by the University of Jember with funding support from Indonesia Climate Change Trust Fund, Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Bappenas, and USAID. The 13 motifs of Meru Betiri batik are related to the wealth of Meru Betiri National Park, such as the flora, namely Rafflesia flower, Javanese chili, and blara or coconut leaves, while other motifs like the Javanese eagle motif, pangolin scales, and leopard take after the fauna that inhabit the park. There is also a blend of flora and fauna motif called Rafflesia wads. Thank you. All batik is processed with natural coloring without chemicals. To get black color, the root and stem of mangrove plant are used. The red color of thick leaves, the cream color of the leaves of Putri Malu plant, as well as other natural dyes available in the surrounding environment. To get the maximum coloring, a sheet of cloth must go through the coloring process at least 6 times immersion. And every coloring process takes about 36 hours. Well, that was Miss Eleni introducing Meru Betiri Batik Tulis. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Putri Savitri Ardella in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to the Changcuters. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Samara. Enjoy the song!
Oh,
Just listen to the first song entitled Samara, sung by the Changcuters. The Changcuters is a famous band of Indonesia which was established in 2004. The band from Bandung, West Java, consists of 5 persons, namely Tria, Kibil, Alda, Dipa, and Eric. The Changcuters began from Dipa, Tria, and Kibil, who were friends in the same campus in the past. Then, Alda and Eric also joined in the band because they are Kibil's friends playing band when senior high school. The name of the Changcuter itself was taken from the nickname of Kibil's friend when junior high school. But in some interviews, the personnel of the Changcuter interpret the name of theirs as Yang Lucu, or in English means the cute. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Hijrah ke London. Enjoy the song.
Kau berkelana, ke negara sepak bola, bukan Italia, bukan juga Argentina. Oh, oh, oh. Ditinggal cinta.
Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner, which is discussing about the Changcuters. Music style which is played by the Changcuters is diverse in each of their works. There are rock, indie pop, jazz, and even blues. The Changcuters itself names its genre as ala kita, garasi rock and roll. However, its fans never get bored to enjoy the Changcuters' performance. On the stage, the Changcuters' performance is always different. Beginning from clothes, the Changcuters' personnel ever formed by wearing very tight pants and ancient hair, and on other occasion, they wore fedora hat and bow ties. Thus, the Changcuters often wore style a la band or ancient musicians. Listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the following two songs entitled I Love You, Bebe, and
lestarikan sang pohon. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia。
ここにいる女の子たちに僕たちの歌を聞いてください。
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.